You hear that, Corby?
Okay, everybody gather round. It's time for the Big Ten Hoedown. Kick up your heels, jump up and down. Shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square. When you're doing the Big Ten Hoedown, gotta have a collar you can trust. Cause when Big Ten does a hoedown, he really kicks up some dust.
Oink,
honk,
oink,
honk, honk.
Bad.
Ah, yes. Big Ben time.
Here's Danny.
Hello. All right.
Hey, Danny.
So
there's, hi, Danny.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Danny. Our friends Craig Miller and Jake Kemp are here.
I know,
hey, Danny.
No matter what I do here in this segment, there's no way I could be the star of the day after Jake's crushed red pepper pizza offering with Micah Parsons earlier. That was badass.
And what have and you
probably the
relieved yourself?
Interview no. of the decade, too. He was great.
Well, I had a bit of a hole to dig out of this week after the 30-mile zone tour that I put half of our staff through.
True.
So I'm just trying to do it brick by brick.
It's the only way.
There you go.
The only way.
All right. There are two sources of inspiration for my offering today, and one of them is a song that I've heard on the station a bunch. I have no idea where it came from, but it seems like it gets played a lot from noon to three. And it's this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vanitas del Verde. Yeah. Vanitas del Verde.
Yeah.
Vanitas del Verde.
Yeah.
Vanitas del Verde.
So good.
It's the best quarterback in the American football conference.
Eastern Division.
Okay. It's the Vinny Testaverde song. I have no idea where this came
Testaverde,
from.
Testaverde? What did
I say?
It's not a sauce.
Salsa.
I said Testaverde?
Testaverde.
Yeah, Verde, whatever. I don't know where that came from, but I've always been amazed at the guy's ability to cram in words that don't really have a poetic sense to them. They're just jammed
right
in there.
But it fits.
And it works, and it's so catchy and good.
Yes.
The second source of my inspiration is, now, Corby, you'll know this, and Bob, you did Bob with the Beatles a long time ago on the Hardline. So remember when John Lennon saw that poster of the carnival or the circus, and he wrote the song for the Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, where he just essentially took literal phrases from the
right
poster and
yeah
wrote a song about it in his own words. So I use both of those pieces of inspiration when I stumbled upon this article that was recommended to me on social media the other day. And I believe, Corby and Bob, you both have those articles up. Will
yes
you please tell me the title of the article?
Well, it is 9 Facts You Didn't Know About Joe Burrow.
Exactly.
Okay. Boy, how first grade NFL book is this?
So I looked through the article. I thought of those two inspirations, and my brain said, Eureka. So here I present to you on Super Bowl week my original song, kind of, where I used literally word for word 9 facts you didn't know about Joe Burrow. Here it goes.
You didn't know about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is a Louisiana State University Tigers legend. Joe Burrow redshirted as a freshman at Ohio State in 2015. Joe Burrow's dad also played college and pro football. Joe Burrow may have been the first pick of the 2020 NFL draft, but coming out of high school, college teams were interested in him. Burrow went to Athens High School in the Plains, Ohio, which was near Ohio University, where his father, Jimmy, coached. Joe Burrow led Athens High School to a 14-1 record in his senior season. One of the contributing factors to Burrow's decision to leave Ohio State after the 2017 season was former Buckeyes head coach Urban Meyer. Joe Burrow was caught smoking a cigar in the locker room after LSU's national championship win.
Let's bring it home, guys.
Joe Burrow has been in a relationship with Olivia Holzmacher since 2017.
There you have it. Nine facts you didn't know about Joe Burrow.
But that, now I do, though.
Right.
It's a lot of information.
I learned a lot. I didn't realize he was an LSU legend.
Wow.
I was shocked at every fact that I read.
God,
he was caught smoking a cigar.
That is truly the Roger Staubach story that we would read in first grade.
Yeah, strange but true football stories.
Or a book report.
Yeah,
you got to give us a full page.
Yeah,
one full page.
Yes,
on Joe Montana.
We need some facts.
Just list out the facts.
That's
you
wonderful.
You have no idea how hard that was to compose all those changes around these non-rhyming, non-versed out lyrics, but my God, that was so much fun.
Someone needs to set this to still images with the bouncing ball of the lyrics at the bottom.
Yeah.
100%.
That should be a ticket stock.
No.
Word for word. It was perfect.
No. That is never going to be performed live.
All right. Good stuff, Daniel.
All right.
Greg.
That was like the best pig pen ever.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, thanks for having us.
I know, thank you for being here,
thanks for having us. What's coming up next?
Well,
that's interesting you ask.
We may have a couple of guests that you guys can talk to as well.
Oh!
Surprise guests.
Football players?
Well...
No.
Not exactly.
Movie stars?
I think you're on the right track.
That guy from Last Chance U.
It's not him.
Oh.
It's not him. Next. 552. Here on Radio Row, live from Los Angeles, this is The Hard Line. Got an hour and change left of the program. Maybe some world-famous TV men will walk our way here in a little bit. But Gordon Keith just showed up.
Yes.
Craig Miller has been here. He refuses to leave.
Yeah,
there's Craig, no way you're getting rid of me.
Yeah. And it's good that Gordon is here, Bob, because
yes.
He is with us
it's
on
so
our...
Great.
It is. He was with us on our a little adventure this morning in which we woke up early to get here.
Don't want to hear it.
I got up at 9 to get here at 10. Thank you very much.
Gosh, that just galls me.
Our show is over by 9.
Yeah. We're waking up at 2:15 in the
all
morning.
That sucks.
Yeah, the West Coast life. That could be a little rough on the old musers.
Uh-huh.
But I did have time to go back and take a quick nap before we went on the air.
God. What kind of cushy schedule do you guys got?
The only thing that could be better than 3 to 7 might be 1 to 5.
Yeah. It's
right?
The best.
Yeah.
It really is the best. So this morning, we had the... our guys are coming over here. We had the Super Bowl halftime show press conference. Which was kind of a bummer.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Do I need to give up this headset, killer?
No, just sit there.
Are the Mayans coming?
Oh, okay.
The Mayans.
The Mayans might be coming.
Right. Yeah. The Mayans are coming.
Can you score me some cocaine?
Give this up.
We're going to see. Right. We're going to see.
Where's Gordon?
Wow, Gordon, look at
here.
This.
Gordon is here. Yeah. It's Edward James Olmos.
Wow.
What? Yeah. 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 I'm fine.
Yeah. Put whatever one.
Can sit here.
Put whatever one you want on, Ed.
I'd love to have it. Thank you.
It's Mr. Edward to you.
All right.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to sit down.
Have a seat, buddy. Have a seat.
Don't buddy him.
I can buddy him because he's at our table now.
It's too informal. It's too informal.
What about bro?
This is the great Edward James Olmos.
All right, joining us now.
It's easy for me to say, isn't it?
Really enjoying some baked lays as well.
Here. Edward James Olmos and Emilio Rivera.
Yes.
Both from the FX hit show Mayans.
Look at that.
You guys just slide those headsets on.
Yeah.
You've been here all day. You've been fighting through all the media crap. You're wearing Rams gear.
Look how Los Angeles these guys are.
Ah, seriously.
That's awesome.
Yeah, truly L.A. all the way.
Yeah. You grew up here, right?
Born and raised.
Did you, Emilio?
I got 56 years here, long enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
56 of how many, roughly?
I'll be 61, so yeah, 56 years.
Where are you now?
L.A.
No, where'd you start?
San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, there you go. We're Dallas.
We're from Dallas.
Right on, brother.
So, that's also in Texas, as you know.
I know, yeah.
So, wait, you're a Rams guy and all that. Did you ever have any cowboy feelings?
No. You know, I was too young when I was here, so I was just always, you know, my dad's sticking with when Roman Gabriel days, the Coliseum.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they left us, man. You know, so I became a Raider fan for 1 year. They left us, so now I went to the Niners, man, because it was still in California. You dig?
So weird.
I dig it.
Yeah, but I just, you know, they left me. Like, you know, so I was just looking for guys, and also like Montana and Rice, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And now the Rams are back, so, man, we're back. Here we go again. You know what I mean? The first year they sucked. They really did. But here we are, man, you know, two Super Bowls in 6 years? Come on.
Are you going? Is Solberg going to take you to the,
yes,
to the game?
Yes, Solberg is, yes.
Good.
He always, last time we were in Atlanta, he took us to the game.
Yeah, he's a good guy to know.
Yeah, great guy. Great
good guy.
Guy
to know. Yeah. So, Mayan, season what are we on now?
Four.
Season four.
Season four. Corby, you haven't kept up.
I'm going to say it premieres on Tuesday, April 19th, around 9 Central.
Okay.
That's just an intuition you have?
I keep careful notes on this sort of thing.
You know, how difficult is it to play good guy and or bad guy?
No, you know, bro, you know, it's the best because, you know, whatever you have bad inside, you can't take it out on the streets or anywhere.
Right.
Take it out on the screen. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you get out of stuff. Because we're always pissed off about something. You know what
right.
I'm talking about? You know, the golf game, the putt didn't go in. You know, the bill didn't get paid. Something went wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Take it out
yeah.
on the screen.
Absolutely.
I like how you went back to golf, though. I'm interested now. Are you a golfer?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Frustrating sport, isn't it?
It's the best. Especially
you know, it's like a crack addict there. It's the best, man.
You know what it was, bro? Is that if you've been an athlete in your life, which I play sports all my life, it's the most competitive thing you're ever going to play. You can't beat it.
Right.
I was a great pitcher, a great runner, a great thrower, batter. But I cannot be a great golfer, bro, and it kills me. I've been playing 25 years, brother.
Really?
And I can shoot 82.
Yeah.
But I can shoot 102. It's an ugly thing.
That's right.
I could par every hole, but then I'll have those three triple bogeys, quadruple bogey that just gave me another 18.
Mm-hmm. Have you broken 80?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I mean, not many times.
Corby, come
79,
on.
79, 79, 79, depending on the course.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying?
Sure.
There's some courses that I have a hard time beating 95, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I play from the blues, which is good, because I can hit the ball deep, which is good.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if it's the driver's not working, the irons are working, and vice versa. It's just weird.
You know, Caitlin Jenner plays from the reds and still hits it like 305.
Well, no,
but
before Caitlin was Caitlin,
yeah.
I played them when he was Bruce Jenner back in 2002 in Huatulco, Mexico. And let me tell you, bro, that guy can hit the ball, bro.
Really?
I can't
do that one either.
Edward, you don't want to cuss, do you?
Okay, good. Well, no, what did it work? Okay, so check this out.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, God.
A lot of delay.
I was doing so good.
Okay.
I was doing so good.
No more cussing.
Okay,
right,
got it.
Right. We're out of delay
now.
So we really cannot cuss.
2002.
All right.
You know, we're doing a celebrity thing in Huatulco, Mexico. And you know what it was? I had just been golfing like 5 years, so I was, you know, losing a lot of balls. And he was on my team. And what happened, bro, he looked at me and he said, I'm going on ahead. In other words, he didn't want to play with me, bro.
Really? Yeah.
Kind of rude, bro.
That is
this was Caitlin that said this?
No, it's Bruce.
Bruce Jenner.
Well, yes, but I'm not allowed to say that.
He can hit the ball good, bro. And you know, right. He was like, at the time, he was like a 4 handicap. I was like a 22 handicap.
He was a good athlete. I mean, she was a good athlete in her day.
If he's hitting from the Reds right now, he's going to be greening everything, bro.
He's going to be making a lot of cash.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Edward, you play golf?
But not really. I mean, I really play very seldom. I go to certain, fundraisers. But I don't play it on a daily basis.
What was your sport?
Once a week. Oh, gosh. I've never really played a whole game by myself, to get my whole score. I've all played a scramble.
No, what is he said growing up? Did you play a sport?
I did. I played.
You're a baseball guy?
Yes, I did. I played baseball. Yeah, I played baseball a lot, and I was very well. I was very well received in that sport. I did very, very well in the state of California.
What position did you play?
I played everything. I ended up on second base and catcher, and catching was probably my best place I played.
Hard on the knees, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard on knees, but man, at that when you're 10, 12, it's easy.
to be 10 and 12 again.
There's no problems.
Where do you guys shoot Mayans?
Santa Clarita, Palmdale, Acton, all over that area, brother. You know what I'm saying? It's because, our Palmdale's like our Mexico.
Okay.
Because it's all desert and stuff,
Yeah.
So when we were doing last season, we actually went to Mexico for 2 weeks, shot all the stock footage and stuff, and then we just moved it over to Palmdale,
Is it fun doing the show? You both have been in tons of stuff.
Yeah, it's the best, brother.
Mayans is a lot of fun.
Brother, I'll tell you, I've been doing this 30 years, and I'm having the time of my life. Brother.
Really?
I'm having the time of my life.
I love it.
You know what I mean? I really am.
Well, this is his show.
Yeah.
I mean, if you saw Sons of Anarchy, he was Mayans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then when they split, when they did the spinoff, it was the Mayans. So it was his gang,
Yeah.
It was his really motorcycle cool, club, so... Yeah. Really cool. He is the show.
Yeah.
And we get the legendary Eddie Olmos on the show. How good is that, brother?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Freaking awesome.
I mean, the legend.
See how happy they are that I'm here? Thank
you. They love you. They absolutely love you.
You mentioned Eddie's name, and the crowd
went crazy. Right?
So do you go by when, your friends call you Eddie?
Yeah. Friends call me Eddie. A lot of people call me Edward, which is my real name.
Right.
And then go from there.
Yeah.
They're chanting Edward James Olmos.
Right there.
What is...
The thing is, number one. Number one.
We have to get the permission, because when I first met, I worked with Eddie in the past, but behind the scenes, he's like directing, he's producing, I'm in the movie, and it was always Mr. It's always been Mr. Olmos for me.
Yeah.
Always. Until he said, call me Eddie. So until he gave me that green light... Then that was it. Was Eddie?
Yeah. And I noticed he didn't give Corby that sort of permission at this point. Yeah,
Corby's taking this.
Heavy, man.
Yeah. Yes. Called your buddy.
Sit down.
What? Hey, sit down,
Ed.
Yeah. Hey, sit down, Sport. Called him Sport.
Okay.
EJ, I was just calling EJ.
I should have turned him and said, "Excuse me, Sir Edward."
Yeah, right.
Hey, denied it. That would have got him.
What?
That's
funny.
That's awesome.
All right, Emilio Rivera, Edward James Olmos, Ed, as we like to call him.
No, we don't. Call him Sir Olmos. Sir Olmos Esquire.
Mayans, the new season starts April 18th.
That's right.
19th. April 19th on FX.
Me.
Yes, on FX. Everybody check it out. Boys, thank you so much.
Boys?
Yeah.
You guys.
They're boys.
Dallas.
There you go.
We agree with you very much.
Hey, really.
Enjoy the game.
That was a good try. That was a bad thing on that clock, brother. I don't know what happened.
Tell us about it.
That was terrible. It almost seemed like it was set up, bro.
I know.
Interesting. We think it's set up, too.
I called that, bro.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then the Niners again against the Packers, the kick. Block.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Two in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fixed league.
About that.
You make sure Solberg buys you a bunch of beer at that game, too.
I haven't drank in 31 years.
Okay,
bro.
Well, not that.
You didn't want to see me drunk in a game, homie. That's why I quit.
Good.
Very good. Thanks, gentlemen.
There they go.
Appreciate your time.
John, thank you very much, buddy.
There they go.
That was great.
Our friends, the Mayans. Edward James Almost.
Edward James Almost.
Emilio
Any
Rivera.
Parting cuss words before you go? Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
We literally ran out of delay. If he had said one more cuss word,
I know.
We would have lost our license.
Just can't do that.
You gotta love
it. Pick real quick,
it was fast. It was fast.
You gotta love it when they apologize with another one.
I'm so effing sorry, bro.
Great, thank you.
The overcuss.
It was the overcuss.
The overcuss.
Total overcuss.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
We're about to wrap up.
All right.
Okay, so
Gordon,
real quick.
Gordon's sorry, though.
What?
You think so?
Yeah, what? Because Edward James Olmos is trying to talk, and Gordon's just going, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yeah.
I was
yeah,
agreeing with a lot mm-hmm. of stuff that he was trying
right.
to say.
You should have seen the... image of him shoveling those
dude,
chips.
I thought that was.
I got a picture. I'll tweet it.
Are you serious?
Without question, the highlight was
just slamming baked lays in his
dude,
mouth.
As the other guy was telling us his golf story, Edward James Almost was going after the end of his bag of baked lays.
I've never seen something so violently attacked.
it was the first thing he ever. The first thing he ever saw.
He's like they don't feed him on that show.
Just got out of prison.
It was.
Oh my god.
It was
delicious.
So it was the
attacking.
It was the mouth wide open. He just tried to dump the last.
He sensed it was
so
wounded.
Loud.
He sensed it was wounded.
It's unbelievable. That was the other guy's just cussing. Oh,
turn his head up.
Such a great comedy routine. Oh,
I'm so effing sorry, you. CSers, I didn't mean to cuss.
Yeah.
Dude, no. I'm effing sorry about that, bro.
We had to give him a whole list. Okay, no, that's on the list, too. You can't say that one either.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. All the words you're saying, you can't say.
Perfect.
These guys are great, though.
Yeah.
Energy.
What were you going to say, Corbin?
Listen to that. Crowd loved our interview.
It's just...
What
my interview. I don't get it. Is this going on in the mornings?
No.
Uh-uh. I don't know what's happening.
Because Ding Dong's not here in the mornings.
Who's here, George?
Oh, tank top guy.
Tank top guy.
What's he doing?
I don't know. It's like they're doing a special
okay,
show or something.
George loves this guy. George loves this guy and hates Romo. How is that possible?
Oh, this is the dude George's always talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Look how much him. Of a bummer was it this morning when we did go to the press conference, the halftime press conference?
Yeah. Do and we have Eminem, time to talk about that here?
Yeah. And Eminem wasn't there. I was just like,
I know.
Oh, man.
Bro.
Yeah, the two guys I wanted to see most weren't there, Eminem and Kendrick Lamar.
But it strengthens his image just a little. It makes him mysterious. Too
he's
good
brunette
for your press
now.
Conference. Yeah.
How long has he been brunette?
They rolled out.
Quite a while, actually.
Was that thing that they dumped out, there was like a video that they showed that was like 5 minutes long that probably cost $20 million dollars to make.
Expensive.
The trailer.
Was that dumped out today?
I believe so.
That was the first time anybody ever saw that was us watching that. I'm sure it's out there online, obviously, now.
Yeah.
That thing was so slick.
I know it was.
It looked like
good.
A movie, man.
Mm-hmm. But we did get to see Snoop. We're in the same room as Snoop and Mary J. Blige and Dr. Dre. That's pretty huge.
That was really cool.
It says here released 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
The official trailer.
Well, Corby had it released today.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to in any way contradict his information.
But here's the real information.
I would never.
Have we missed that?
I would never. Yeah, that's a great question. But,
so we were all excited. We all get to the press conference, and we're all nervous about, okay, what question am I going to ask? What question are you going to ask, Corby? Bob said, man, I got one that's going to stop down the show.
Yeah,
you
said they may not play the Super Bowl after your question.
Right.
Bob was all attitudinal about his question.
I was all excited to call Mary J. Blige Mare Bear, but I didn't get the chance.
We wanted Gordon to go as fake Norm. To ask them a question.
Ask a really long, laborious question with a lot of pauses and discursive comments. But, Mayor Bear, this one's for you.
We wanted to keep the mic and never give it up and just keep asking questions.
And Mayor Bear, and Mayor after Bear, you answer this, if you could pass the mic
to Dr. Eminem.
To Dr. Dre. But they didn't take any questions.
And they never will again.
That's
now,
because of us.
Yeah, I know. We had a good run.
Great.
You remember when Tom Watson almost won the British Open when he was 60?
Yep.
And he got up there and they were like, you know, how much are you just freaking out that you bogeyed 18 and you lost? He's like, guys, I had my time.
Yeah.
All right? I'm okay. We had our time.
Yep.
It was a good run we had.
Yeah.
And we'll never, ever have that opportunity again.
We stopped down like 15 out of 20 press conferences that we were asking questions.
Boy, old Dr. Dre, Stevie Wonder telling Mike Reiner to shut up.
Shut up.
Dr. Dre brought up a good point today of why is it taking this long to get a full-on hip-hop show? Like, they went through every freaking dinosaur band that there ever was, right? Every old band in the history of rock and roll, basically. And you had all these fresh hip-hop guys, and like they said, it's kind of the most popular thing on the planet, and it's been that way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just now coming to them.
Yeah, so you guys were trying to go through what year was this, and if I may. So 2005 was Paul McCartney.
I asked the first question at that press conference.
2006.
And I stopped it down. Remember, I had like this. I hit a home run.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul didn't hear my question, and it fell apart.
And you just gave up, and then you just said, do you like them Beatles?
Because it was the year after Nipplegate.
Yeah, yes.
And I got
Janet Jackson was 04.
And so it was packed. It was Paul McCartney. So the press conference was packed, and I asked, Paul, Gordon Keith had the ticket. Have you given any thought as to which body part you're going to expose in the halftime show? And what it was on everyone's mind. And everyone died laughing, and then Paul goes, I'm sorry, Wilt, I couldn't hear you. Say it again.
Well, it was a clear. You had to
and there's no way I can repeat the punchline.
Right.
So I just said, hey, thanks for being Paul or something. And
you dumped out.
I dumped out. I completely cratered.
So 05, Paul McCartney. 06, the Rolling Stones.
Corby got a question there.
Yeah.
07, Prince.
Nobody got a question there.
I don't think he took questions.
He did.
No, he just played a concert.
Full-on concert for like 13 minutes. It was awesome.
08, Tom Petty.
09. Did Mike get a question there?
No, Corby asked him. He brought up Mike in his question.
Yeah, I said, my buddy here does a Tom Petty cover band. Can he hum a few bars of American Girl to you? And Petty goes, no.
How awkward is that? And then Petty keeled over.
Sir.
Later.
That'd be even more awkward.
Yeah, there's a little hang time.
09, Bruce Springsteen.
Nobody got a question there, right?
I don't think after the Stones or what. I don't know.
No. You got one for Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, 10's the Who, 11 is the Black Eyed Peas.
Wait, I don't remember the Who press conference.
They did one. We didn't get a question.
Oh.
12 is Madonna.
What did we get at Black Eyed Peas?
He asked Fergie if he could...
She had that Dr. Pepper commercial where she
tied
a cherry. It was cherry Dr. Pepper or whatever,
so
and she always had the...
Harassed her in question form.
I did. Hey, if I make out with you right now and you get pregnant...
You go to third base down on me?
Anyway, ticket.
Anyway, happy football.
Madonna in 12, 13 was...
We yelled a question at Madonna, I think. That was the one we got cut off on. That's the one where we got stonewalled. They told us they were going to keep coming to us.
And they never did.
And
they had the headset on.
That's when we figured out. And we heard them in the headset.
So is that
no, that's the ticket in Dallas. No, don't go to them.
So you think that's where it ended?
That's where it ended.
I got within 1 foot of Madonna on that trip.
Yeah.
I was standing close to our table, Radio Row, and I turned around because there was movement in the corner of my eye, and it was her entourage bringing her to the NFL Network set, and I could have reached out and touched her.
Did you smell her hair?
She kind of stopped. She slowed down when she saw me, and she said, hold on, guys, hold on.
Hold on.
What's your name?
I remember that.
I said, just get out of here.
Move out of the way.
Get out of here, you dame.
13, Beyonce. 14, Bruno Mars. 15, Katy Perry. 16, Coldplay. Then Lady Gaga. 17, Timberlake. 18, Maroon 5. 19, Shakira. Jennifer Lopez. In 20, The Weeknd. And now we're...
It's been 10 years since we asked a question.
I'm telling you, the Fergie question got us blacklisted.
I guess so.
That was it.
Corby.
But to your
Corby
point...
Corby ruins everything.
Of those
good
bands.
Good stuff, Corby.
And never a hip-hop act.
It's funny that they had to wait till all the hip-hop guys were 50.
I know. That's the other thing. I mean, Dre looks old.
Dre might be close to 60, to be honest.
Before Paul McCartney... Where was Billy Joel in this, and where was Stevie Wonder in all this?
Early on.
Those guys did...
They were post-Nipplegate.
You got any water?
Billy was the national anthem. Okay. They did a press conference for the national anthem.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And Stevie and them didn't do the halftime? That was the pre-show?
I don't know. Gordon?
Okay. Well, do you remember when I'll just keep continuing doing radio by myself?
Information I don't have exactly. 2003 was Shania and No Doubt. 2002 was U2. 2001, Aerosmith. And Hot Dog.
Do you remember, Corby, when Billy Joel asked, I don't know who he was asking, you got any wada? And Corby's like looking in his jacket, no, I don't. No, no,
you got any wada? Yeah, the Billy Joel one. The Billy Joel one was the best because Mike was sitting next to me and didn't want anyone to know that I was with him. And so he turned away from me as I'm asking a question and like literally got in the fetal position just so people wouldn't think that he was associated with me as he hands me $100 because he bet me $100 I wouldn't ask if
he knew.
If he was morphing into well-known Meshuggah comic. What was the guy's
name?
Alan King. Yeah.
Yeah. What a compliment to Billy Joel to say something like that.
Yeah, ain't no matinee idol.
Well, guys, we have community quick hits coming up here.
Yeah, Gordon.
Just a few moments.
Gordo, stick around. I want to ask you a question about Jack Ruby.
Everybody likes community quick hits. Community quick hits. Community quick hits. Everybody likes community quick hits. Community quick hits. Community quick hits.
Guitar. Community Quick Hits, a Super Bowl 56 edition, brought to you by
Haile Mazda of Hurston, Arlington, and AmericanEagle.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, live in Dallas, Danny.
So yesterday, you guys recall, we did the story about the Jack Ruby fingerprint card that Heritage Galleries or Heritage Auctions has up for auction. Where he got his fingerprints after he was arrested for assassinating Lee Harvey Oswald in the basement of the, I guess it was what, the Dallas Police Station back then, Gordon?
Dallas Police Headquarters.
Headquarters. And they said that the starting bid was $10,000, and they expected for it to reach up to maybe $40,000 for that thing to sell. And I had two questions, and I'm super glad that Gordon is with us now. Well, number one, Gordon, is that opening bid something that you would look at and go, you know what? I think I'm going to go for it. And number two, over the years up to now, has your fascination, interest in that entire assassination situation from 1963, has that waned at all? Or are you still just as strong as you always have been with it?
No, I mean, it's waned in the sense of that I haven't read about it in a while. You know, like I really brushed up on it when we did our bus tour. I had to go back and read a lot of the Warren Commission, a lot of other books, a lot of conspiracy stuff then. And so at that time, when I was actively researching it more to commit stuff to memory.
What bus tour?
We did it like around the anniversary, didn't we, Junior? We got a bus full of P1s and
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it must have been the 50th anniversary, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Somewhere
and you did the
there.
Trail of Tears?
Yeah.
That's an offensive term, but I don't appreciate
He was great, too. Yep. We had probably 30 P1s on a bus, sponsored by Half Price Books, and we hit every site 2 hours, 3 hours, and he never stopped talking and was full of information about every site. It was your finest hour.
Creepy.
I don't know if that was my finest hour.
So creepy.
So did you consider bidding on this, or not interested?
I'm not I don't get into Rubyabilia. That's an insider term that we use.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm mainly stuff that's associated with Oswald.
Yeah.
Bathroom
fixtures.
Righty.
So
what sort of price would it take, though?
For what?
If we could get this price down a little bit to $10,000.
$4,000?
For rubies... And this was his initial booking?
Yes. This is the original. His hand touched this piece of paper
right after
when he was being booked for taking the life of Lee Harvey.
Actually, probably $10,000 is around right.
But nothing over that?
No. After I spent $15,000 on his fedora.
I'm sorry, what? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't buy his fedora.
Oh, my God.
But I did pose wearing Jack Ruby's fedora.
Where did you find that?
The one he was wearing when he sent Oswald to his great reward.
Where did you find that?
Yeah, where was that?
Heritage was selling it.
Really?
It was part of a promotion, and they let you put it on.
They came up and were showing some of the things they were auctioning, and that was one of them.
What kind of power did you feel at that moment?
Oh, the power of 10 men, at least.
Right.
That was the hat he was wearing.
Did you pose with a guitar?
Or? No, didn't recreate that. That was one of the earliest Photoshops I remember.
And still maybe the best.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
It's turning perfect. The Oswald assassination scene into a band, and Ruby's on a lefty strad, isn't he?
Yes. The guy in the white suit's just like crushing a freaking keyboard.
Yeah, playing one hand on the keyboard. And Oswald's belting out a note.
Like some weird new wave band from 1981.
What else did you put on?
Yeah,
I think we also had Ruby's handcuffs. Either Ruby's handcuffs or Oswald's handcuffs. I can't remember which one they were.
Was Lee Harvey wearing handcuffs when he got shot?
Yeah, when he was shot, Lavelle, the guy who was crushing the keys that day, he was handcuffed to Oswald.
Is anybody alive in that photo?
Lavelle just died.
That's right.
I think last year before, he was like close to 100. And so he was still alive. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say something about the Super Bowl, but you go ahead. I think you're still on this subject.
I actually was trying to segue to some Super Bowl fun facts, but let's stay on this. Right. So after your years and years of Joe Rogan-esque research.
Yeah. Very Joe Rogan.
You did determine, if I remember correctly, that your belief is that Lee Harvey acted entirely alone, correct?
Yes.
I'm with you.
Yes, absolutely.
I am 100% with you and have been for years.
I don't know, though. Have you guys seen JFK?
Yeah, I saw JFK. And, you know, I was mentioned or alluded to on Rogan's podcast just this week because Akash was on there. And he was promoting his new special with Rogan. And he mentioned, hey, there's this guy at this station in Dallas that is big into the assassination. And he's says that Lee Harvey was acting alone. And Rogan was like, yeah, he needs to debate Oliver Stone. Because Rogan was real influenced by Oliver Stone's latest JFK.
Oh, is there a new batch?
Yeah, there's a new. Well, I don't know about a batch of new documents. But it's once again Stone creating another piece of work that gets you convinced that there's so much more to this than we even know.
Didn't he almost ruin film in general by releasing JFK?
Oh, my God. Well, it was a great movie.
At the time, it was very intoxicating. But after like a year, everybody just ripped it to shreds.
It was
like,
easy to poke holes in.
Piece of art ever.
But, I mean, you had a lot of people that were seeing it for the, you know, seeing that movie that had no idea about any of the facts. And they saw the movie and took that as an account of what really happened. So you had this whole generation of people. And it was kind of our generation in a way. Because what did that come out in, like, 88,
92? 92, I think
92?
It was.
Okay. So, yeah, we were in our mid-20s, early 20s. So there's a lot of people that were looking at that going, oh, man, this is a real account of what happened. And it was blatantly just fabricated, just flat out made up.
Oliver Stone does that thing that a lot of conspiracy guys do. They never have a coherent theory themselves. They just flood the zone with about 50 different theories.
Yeah.
And you have to spend so much time combating each piece of information that they do, and then they just hit you with another piece of information, so they get this gish gallop of bad faith arguing going that just keeps you chasing all their rabbits all over creation.
And you wonder why we're in
how, well, this rabbit actually isn't alive, you know.
You wonder why we're in the state we are now.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the world we live in now with everything almost.
Yes.
It's the, what about the people who saw somebody in Florida who said that they thought that JFK was going to die that weekend? And, like, that is proof somehow that there was a conspiracy because someone said that they saw someone who heard someone who said that somebody was going to die that weekend in Dallas.
I remember the most convincing thing that brought me to your side that Lee Harvey acted alone was we had Bert Shipp on. It was at Channel 8 that day when Oswald was arrested and covered the whole thing. And we had him on the 40th anniversary, and he told us that every year all the reporters get together, you know, every 10-year anniversary. And he said a couple of years ago, we decided to do an anonymous survey. Everybody just wrote down whether they thought Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone or whether there was a conspiracy. Put all the answers in a hat, One person went through them, added it all up, and it was unanimous that Lee Harvey acted alone.
Wow.
And as he pointed out, these are reporters, skeptical by nature, and not a single one of them who covered the event thought there was a conspiracy.
Right.
Fascinating.
And if you just would focus on the story of Lee Harvey Oswald, it's like everything adds up to the guy that did it alone. I mean, this is a rifle that he purchased. It's a rifle that he tried to kill someone else with a few months before that we didn't even find out about until after the JFK assassination that we finally connected. I mean, it's and when you looked at his life and you just focused on him, then you see that, yes, he admits to doing this to General Walker that he did in April, left a note for Marina. She turns that in. All the evidence points to him. But it's when you go chasing rabbits that you start going, man, there's a lot of rabbits around here. Where are the rabbits that you threw out there?
Right.
What about Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon?
What about them?
Is it too...
The Odd Couple?
They were in the movie and they said otherwise.
Is it too convenient to believe? You know what I'm saying? Is like it can't be that simple, so people want to believe a more fantastic narrative.
Yeah, that's what... And I don't quite understand that logic. That gets said in a lot of these specials about it, was that a lot of people just can't believe that a single guy with a gun can take down the leader of the free world. And it's like, well, that's exactly how you do it. When it comes down to it, it's a single guy with a gun who takes some shots from unfortified, you know, these buildings, which they at the time they just didn't think about this.
Right.
Right.
People
There's no
shooting
reason.
From up high.
No reason.
And he brings a gun into work and takes a few pot shots, knows he's going to get caught, and gets caught.
And it takes events like this to happen, and the next thing you know, you're running your shoes through the TSA monitor.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Right. And wearing a face diaper.
That's right.
We better go.
Sheep.
All right.
Let's ask Rick Bonus if he thinks that Lee Harvey Oswald acted. Did Lee Harvey Oswald act alone? Our morning show guy is dying to have you answer that. He wants to know if
I want to know why you've been dodging that question this whole interview.
Well, I really am telling the truth. Haven't given it a whole lot of thought lately.
Oh, well, isn't that suspicious that you haven't given it a whole lot of thought?
So we thought you'd say. Coach, thank you very much, sir.
All right, guys. Have a good time out there. Enjoy.
We'll do. We'll pull one back for you.
Rick Bonus.
All right. There he goes. Rick Bonus at 6:50. All right. Thank you very much for today's presentation. Thanks to our special guest, Edward James Olmos and...
Emilio Estevez.
Emilio Rivera from Mayans. Thank you to Craig Miller, to Gordon Keith, Jake Kemp, and all that joined us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Musers will kick things off early in the morning at 5:30. We'll be in here a couple hours after that. So stay tuned to day 5 of The Ticket and their last day of coverage of Super Bowl 56 live from Radio Row here in Los Angeles. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep.
That's the end of the game.
The game is over. The game is over.